Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, I've often remarked on various feast days and other important events in our liturgical calendar, and I want to talk a little about the value of that calendar, because it is often submerged in the secular calendar, the secular dates that surround us. But that cycle of feast and celebrations of the Church are a kind of catechism for us. Each of the feast days teaches us something about the faith. And every time we celebrate one of the feast days, not only of the major events of the life of Christ or in Mary, but also of the lives of the saints that are part of our communion within the Church, we find the faith and the mysteries of the faith are unfolding before us. And they unfold in a way that is both instructive, that is, they teach us the meaning of them, they deepen our understanding of the faith of the Church, but also they are conducive to prayer and worship. Because after all that we know, all that we believe and affirm, should lead us into a deeper and deeper relationship with God through Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. That it does lead us to that prayer and worship that will mark everlasting life in the kingdom. I also remember that the lives of the saints, as St. Thomas Aquinas would say, are proper commentaries on the gospel. That is, if you want to understand how the gospel is actually lived, look to the lives of the saints, and there you will find those gospel values, those gospel teachings come alive, and each in their own time and place. And the lives of the saints then are an encouragement to us and an example of how we too in our own time and place can live out the mysteries of the faith. Now I say this as a kind of general introduction to a meditation on the various festivals and saints' days of the calendar that I should like to concentrate on over the next couple of weeks. And I want to begin with the wonderful feast that we will be celebrating this Sunday, the feast of the most precious body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, frequently called from its Latin description, Corpus Christi. This feast was instituted back in the 13th century as a way to remind the faithful of a fundamental belief of the Catholic Church, that in the presence, under the species of bread and wine, there is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, and this is the real presence of our Lord among us. And in that wonderful sacrament, there is a way by which Jesus Christ continues his work and his presence and his mission throughout all of history and in all societies. As our Lord was preparing to ascend to his heavenly Father, and as the disciples gathered around him for the last time, the Lord spoke very powerful words to his disciples and through them to all of us who are members of the Church. Our Lord both gave a mission and made a promise. The mission was to go forth and teach all the nations everything that the Lord had taught us, so that all might know the truth and be drawn to the true worship of God and to the promise that he holds. This is the mission that he gave to us. But he also made a promise, and that promise was given to encourage us, to give us strength and courage in fulfilling the mission. And he said to his disciples, "Remember this, that I am with you until the end of the ages." Now, of course, the disciples at first, although hearing very plainly that mission and that promise, did not know particularly how it was to be fulfilled or how the promise was to unfold before them. So that after that moment of ascension, the disciples waited for several days until the fulfillment of another promise that our Lord gave to send the Holy Spirit down among us. And on that day of Pentecost, the mission became clear and the promise became fulfilled. For the disciples were enabled now to preach that gospel everywhere, to do it with eloquence and commitment and profound courage. But also they began to understand that in the gift of the Holy Eucharist, the promise of the continuing presence of Jesus Christ was fulfilled. In the word that he proclaimed, which is preserved for us in sacred scripture and in the tradition of the church, and in, of course, the gift of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And from the very beginning, there was among the Catholic faithful a very deep devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. And this devotion has two meanings. The first is that sense that the Lord is always with us. But secondly, that Blessed Sacrament was given to us as food for our journey. We are all of us on a pilgrimage. We are moving forward toward the fulfillment of that hope that is given to us as we come to await the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom. And that food is given to us for our journey, that we not lose heart, that we continue to have the strength of the Lord with us. It is also the food for immortality, the food that is offered to us in order to understand that we are called to everlasting life. And in the richness of that food, in the power of that presence, then the life of the church remains, is sustained, grows, and strengthens. And as we celebrate this wonderful feast day of the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ, we might want to ask ourselves, how do we properly respond to so great a gift? Perhaps this is a moment that we might take to examine our sense of the presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, the way in which we approach it and receive it, how we understand that that gift is to be given to us in order that we might fulfill our mission in this world. And we begin by understanding the centrality of the separation of the a celebration, rather, of Sunday, which is, after all, a little Easter, and participation in Mass on that day. This, of course, is done by Catholics in fulfillment of the third commandment to keep holy the Lord's Day. But more than this, it allows us to understand how, in fact, Sunday stands not only at the beginning of the week, but it remains the entire stimulus for the week, and that participation in Mass is a way by which we come to understand that even here and now, the kingdom proclaimed by Jesus Christ is present. And in those moments that we are celebrating and participating in the Mass, heaven and earth are joined. We are surrounded by what the letter to Hebrews calls the cloud of witnesses, all the saints and angels joining us in a wonderful celebration of the presence of God and the understanding of his love and power. So we come to ask ourselves, do we celebrate Sunday properly? And are we prepared to participate in Mass with devotion and with purpose and with understanding? We have to remember that in Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, we who bear the name of Christ are a people set apart, a royal priesthood we are called. And as a people set apart, as a royal priesthood, sustained by the gift of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, encouraged by his word that is preached, we are called to transform the world around us, as well as to prepare ourselves for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Constantly on a journey, pilgrims, proclaiming and rejoicing in the presence of God, and longing for that moment when we will see Jesus face to face. And so the feast day of Corpus Christi, of the most precious body and blood of Jesus Christ, then becomes an opportunity to examine as well our attitudes toward and participation in the Mass. Do we make a proper preparation for the celebration of Mass? Quieting our hearts and minds, opening our hearts and minds to the presence of Christ in the word that he will speak to us? Do we offer it due attentiveness and reverence? After all, the first act, really, of participation is to listen carefully as the word is proclaimed. Do we worship both in body and soul, not only to stir up sentiments, but to allow them to be expressed, not only in our words, but in our physical attitudes, our standing, our kneeling, and also in the manner of our dress? For after all, is not only the priest and deacons who vest for Mass, it is everyone who participates in it. And at the heart of this, there is a principle that I think it is well for us to remember. And that is learning the great virtue of reverence. For the reverence shown to the Eucharist is the encouragement, the goad, to show that reverence to other people. Isn't it remarkable that our Lord, in summing up the law, said that the first law is the love of God with our whole heart, mind, body, and soul? But in fact, in loving God, we come also to love his image, that is, our neighbor. For how we touch the Eucharist is the manner in which we will touch the lives of others. And remembering this, allow us to show other people that being touched by Christ and his body and blood, we are going to touch them with the same promise and reverence.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.